My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me now and we will explore these topics and so much more with fascinating guests, authors, and experts who will guide us to Destination Unlimited. Are there coincidences that seem miraculous and life-changing? Is it possible for everyone to recognize and embrace these synchronicities? My guest this week on Destination Unlimited, Sophia Demas, experienced these miracles and they continue to transform her life. Her website is sophiademas.com, and she joins me this week to share her story and book, The Divine Language of Coincidence, How Miracles Transformed My Life After I Began Paying Attention. Please join me in welcoming to Destination Unlimited, Sophia Demas. Welcome, Sophia.
Oh, thank you for inviting me.
Sophia, please share with us your early life and path, and how it shaped your understanding of our world.
Well, I was very fortunate to have two loving parents. And they were a generation older than my friend's parents. And they were from Greece. So they were different. My mother was very religious, but she was also extremely spiritual, and she had shared some stories that showed like miracle stories. And to me, they weren't weird. They were just, that's part of her story. And so I was born in Dearborn, Michigan, where my father worked for the Ford Motor Company. So my father got married when he was 57 for the first time. And I popped out when he was 58. So when he retired at 65, we moved to Greece. And it was magical. It was all of a sudden, we didn't have family in Dearborn, my mother's close friends. All of a sudden, I have this incredible extended family. It is richness. Everything just was wonderful. My cousins, I shot rifles and beat my 17-year-old cousins, in marksmanship when I was 8. And then when the Bay of Pigs happened, my father freaked out because of the geographic situation and that they would come after Greece. And so overnight, we had our things packed and we set off back to the United States. And we didn't know where we were going. So my father on the ship over had this list of 21 cities that he had worked in the West Coast. And so every so often he would bang his hand on the table and go and cross one off. So when we got to New York, there were three cities, Portland, Oregon, San Francisco, and Los Angeles. And we're sitting at the lounge, and I was sitting on my blue suitcase, and all of a sudden, my father looks at a poster and it says Oregon, and the O is a big sun. And he goes, "We're going to Portland, Oregon." And my mother goes, "Well, where's that?" And he goes, "Just over California." He says, "There it only rains 17 days a year." So from the ship, we get onto the train because he felt like we should see the country that we're going to be living in. And we get to Portland, Oregon, and it is the biggest downpour. And that's when my mother freaked out. And my father said, "Okay, I'll go down and scout California." And he goes, I'm going to be gone for 10 days. So he got us into a suite and he goes to California. Well, that's what he said. And he comes back in 10 days, but there was no cell phones. And he says, San Francisco was too hilly and Los Angeles was too flat. So we're staying here. And I just felt that that was an incredible thing. I know that he went fishing somewhere for a break. But these experiences showed me that, A, the world is very small, and that anything, I could do anything. You could do anything. You can go anywhere, do anything. And I think that was the beginning of, you know, starting to pay attention. And then it wasn't until I was 19 where I felt that there was something bigger than me guiding me.
And we're going to talk about that in a minute. But as a teen, what plans were you formulating for your adulthood?
Oh, well, I was an artistic child. And so my parents felt that if you're a woman and you're artistic, well, the only thing you can do is teach. So I kind of went along with this. And, you know, my major was art education. And it was my senior year where I just had one more term and my student teaching. And I had a dream, a very simplistic dream. So doorbell rings. I open the door. It's the mailman. He hands me an envelope. I tear it off. It's my teaching license. And I went, I don't want to teach. And I threw it in this little plastic blue bin. And I went to the registrar's office because I decided that I wanted to be an archaeologist now. And I went and changed my major to art history. And my parents had a fit, of course. And then I ended up getting a scholarship to Italy to study Etruscanology. And that is when I became aware of Buckminster Fuller. And that's another story.
Why don't you tell us briefly about Buckminster Fuller and your work with him?
Okay, so so one of my roommates in Italy, all of us would sit up and discuss, you know, life and ethics and philosophy and smoke Galois cigarettes. And one night it was just him and Ward and I, and Ward asks me, if you could be with anybody dead or alive for half an hour, who would it be? And who knows what I said? It doesn't matter. I said, so who would it be for you? And he goes, Buckminster Fuller. And I knew he invented the geodesic dome, but I thought, why would you want to spend your half hour with him? And he comes and brings me this thin little book. It was called No Secondhand God, and it was a 39-page poem. And I was transformed. And I came back to the States. I read everything I could. And then my friend, who was president of the University of Oregon Student Union, comes over and says, guess who's coming to lecture? He knew my obsession. And I said, Buckminster Fuller. And he asked me to come to Portland, pick him up at the airport. And that is when we formed a relationship and we corresponded. And then when I graduated, so I decided that I'm going to be an architect. That's it. So my father, he cut me off financially. He had had it. I didn't care. Like, all you have to tell me is that I can't do something. And, you know, that's just opening the door for me. And when I graduated architecture school, he asked me to come work with him. And I mean, I don't know how that works, you know, that, you know, here you have this idol and you end up working with your idol. And it was just remarkable. I didn't take one day for granted. And I remember one day, you know, he told me, you know, one day you will have the world's information in the palm of your hand. Wow. And I thought, what is he talking about? And here we are.
And what year was that for our listeners who don't know who he was?
This was in 1979.
Wow. Amazing. That's a beautiful story. Thank you for sharing that. Mm-hmm. Now, as you alluded to before, and as you share in the divine language of coincidence, your spiritual evolution began at the age of 19. Please tell us what happened.
Well, I was going through existential angst along with every other 19-year-old. And the two issues, I just couldn't see a solution. I just couldn't see the solution. And one was, I didn't understand why some people who met me, because I thought I was such a nice person, didn't like me. Things may have turned later, but initially there was something that put them off. And I just didn't understand why, you know, people wouldn't like a nice person. And the other thing was, you know, I was starting to, you know, like question my mother's philosophy of no sex until marriage. Like it wasn't sitting well. Like, and I thought, I don't want to get married. Like, am I going to die a virgin? So I didn't. So what happened in the space of less than 4 months, I met a man who was 27 and he was getting his PhD in some universal theory. And I was a party girl. So it wasn't like the best fit, but he was so fascinating to me and a dream. So I had this dream that I think portended my death. And I woke up in a panic and I walked to his apartment. And he was up, it was 1:30 in the morning, and I told him about the dream. And he said to me, no, it's not a physical death. It is a death of what doesn't work for you anymore. And that will be replaced with the new you. And well, I don't have to tell you that he was the God, he was my first, you know, sexual experience, but it wasn't that night. And within 4 months, those two issues were completely solved, and I felt like a different person. And that slapped me into thinking, wait a second, I didn't do this. Something else did it. Something else brought this person and this dream. And I sought advice, and it couldn't have been clearer. So I would say that started the ball rolling. And then when other things started to happen, I just kind of thanked God for it, you know, and then things evolved to a place where now, I mean, whatever happens, it's for a reason. Whatever bad things happen. And it's like, how many times have I said, oh God, why are you doing this to me? And then I end up thanking God either the next day or 2 years down the line, because that obstacle saved me from peril. And it's such a freeing way to live. I mean, I just think it's being here on earth is a privilege.
Absolutely. And you share in the divine language of coincidence that you started receiving a series of gentle prods and the inner voice. Tell us about that, please.
Well, I would get a coincidence. I would experience a coincidence. It was like, huh? Like wild coincidence. And then that would turn into exactly what I needed, like a miracle. And it wasn't until 2011. Oh, by the way, I had a medium that's in the book, because I had no interest in going to a medium, but there she was, and she was a world-renowned medium. And she told me I was going to write a book. And I said, absolutely not. I said, that's not in the cards. I said, first of all, I have nothing to say. And two, I'm a people person. I'm not going to sequester myself somewhere and write. And I just argued. And she very just listened to me. And she said, word for word, she said, Spirit says when she's ready, there are many spirits here to help her and many hands on earth. Mm. And so in 2011, I reconnected with a childhood friend and I told her my latest miracle. And she said, oh, what people have told me all my life. Oh, these things only happen to you. And something clicked. I thought, yes, it's too numerous. They're too numerous to have happened to one person. And I just meditated on it. And I figured out that these coincidences that were put in my path were for me to take action. That was the key.
Absolutely.
Once I figured that out, I wanted to share it. And that's when I wrote the book. And by the way, there was the miracles and the coincidences were too numerous to cram into one book. So I plucked all the ones that had to do with death. And that book is being published currently. And the title of that book is Consciousness Beyond Death, True Stories of Signs, Messages, and Timing. And that's the key. And so that's, if someone can take one thing out of the book, it's that these things don't happen to just me. I mean, I'm not a guru. I'm certainly not a saint, but to pay attention to what is being put in front of you, pay attention. You might get a miracle.
Now, getting back to the original events, to what did you attribute this early guidance?
God. It was, of course, now remember, I have this mother who keeps feeding me these God things, you know, God stories, and God is, you know, making sure that you have everything you need. And so I have to say that, you know, I was used to this lingo. So, but what else? I mean, you know, I did kind of go away from religion. It was my first philosophy class on ethics. And I thought, oh, wow, you don't have to be a Christian to be a good person. I mean, you know, there's something to Karl Marx. He's got something there. And I'm like, but the things just kept coming. How does that happen? And now we know without consciousness, how could this have happened? So I'm kind of entertained when I hear about scientists that study or try to prove that consciousness exists, because these things couldn't happen if consciousness did not exist.
Absolutely. You had mentioned that one of the things was hearing an inner voice. How were you able to distinguish between your own thoughts and these messages?
You know, at the time, I thought it was one and the same. It was like waking up in the morning and getting a readout, like, okay, you know, do this, or, you know, or say that. And it really, you know, at first it wasn't like it was a separate voice. It was me. It was my voice. And then after, you know, especially studying the Course in Miracles, I saw that we are communicated with through the inner voice. And then the inner voice is part of you. But the more you hone it, the more you pay attention to that voice, and then the results are positive, well, then you start trusting the inner voice more. And in essence, you're trusting yourself more. But that is, to me, it's the Holy Spirit.
You called these early events miracles. What made you think of them as miraculous?
Because they happened outside my mind. They were external events. So they produced exactly what I needed. So to me, they were astounding. You know, I don't know, in the book, have you gotten to the two, well, there were many coincidences, but two coincidences that happened just before my wedding that brought the venue for free.
Share that with us. Share with our listeners what happened.
Okay, I'm going to do two. These are, I bet a lot of people would think that these are not real miracles, because some people like to think that, oh, well, if it's curing cancer, that's a miracle. But I feel that even the smallest, you know, gift is a miracle. So that's my definition of a miracle. It's a gift. So Frank and I, the other miracle is that I didn't want to get married. And there I was, you know, I mean, I was very successful anti-marriage until I was 45. So Frank and I decided to get married on 4th of July. And the wedding was 4th of October. So that's just 3 months. And, you know, we wanted to have a fun wedding, but, you know, venues were taken and I thought, I don't care, you know, we'll do it at a warehouse or something. And just, you know, my friend was a wedding planner. And so we were like really trying to figure out where we're going to have the wedding. Frank was in charge of the music. Guests were coming from all over. So I'm dialing my friend, Anne, and a man answers that's not her husband. And so I said, hello. I said, is Anne there? And he says, Sophia, is that you? It's Jerry. It's, you called me. And I'm like, no, I didn't. I went, Jerry. He goes, look, I'm running to go to a meeting. I just got out of the shower. I'm late. I'll call you later. And so there I go. And I went, Jerry, promise me you are calling me. Promise me. He goes, I promise. So he calls me. And I said, Jerry, I said, you know, what is your telephone number? So his number was one digit off. It was the last digit that was off. What are the odds that I call a friend and get someone else in Philadelphia that not only I know, but recognizes my voice? It just seems so weird. So we started talking, and I just knew him socially. And for coincidentally, I think it was 3 or 4 years, he owned the Barclay Hotel on Rittenhouse Square, this, you know, beautiful old world hotel. And I told him that, you know, we were having trouble with getting a venue. He says, you can have the ballroom. You could, let's come over and look at it. And long story short, he gave us this beautiful ballroom for free and the presidential suite where John and Jackie Kennedy had stayed. And he came to the wedding, of course. So what are the chances of that happening? But on the other hand, I could have very easily said, oh, no, you don't have to call me. No, this was just a wild coincidence. No, you don't have to call me. So that is the key, is taking action, recognizing that something is slapping you in the face. The other one, and I would love to hear which one you think is stranger. The other one was
I don't think any of this is strange, by the way. Having had these experiences myself, there's nothing strange to me. So.
Yes, yes. Well, I know that you understand, but okay. But I can ask you which one you think is more.
You know what? We have to take a little break. Let's hold that for the next segment. My guest is Sophia Demas. Her book, The Divine Language of Coincidence, How Miracles Transformed My Life After I Began Paying Attention. Sophia, please tell our listeners where they can get your book and find out more about you.
Oh, now?
Yes, please.
Okay. Okay. Well, my book is available on Amazon. Also, my website is sophiademus.com, and you can get the book directly from there as well.
And we'll be back with more of Sophia after these words on the OM Times Radio Network.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. OM Times Radio. IOM FM. OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Imagine yourself being transported to India, to the banks of the Ganga and an ashram in Rishikesh. Visualize that you are welcome to satsang with an American sannyasi who shares the wisdom of her guru. Your visualization has manifested. Join Satvi Bhagavati Saraswati for inspiration and transformation every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio. Back on Destination Unlimited, my guest this week, Sophia Demus, her book, The Divine Language of Coincidence, How Miracles Transformed My Life After I Began Paying Attention. And paying attention is the most important thing I'm going to share about that book title. Sophia, you were talking about these two things that happened. First, you talked about how your wedding venue manifested. What's the second one?
Okay, so at this point, I had left architecture and I had started a couture dress designing business. And so I had a salon and I had two great assistants. And so I get a call and this woman says, "Is this Sophia Demus?" And I said, "Yes." And she says, "I just found your driver's license in Rittenhouse Square, and it was snow. It had snowed and it was deep, and I didn't like to carry bags. So I go to my coat pocket, and sure enough, my driver's license is not there." So she says, "How can I get it to you?" And it turns out that she just lived two blocks away. I mean, this is in Rittenhouse Square, was nearby. And I said, "Oh, well, I live, you know, two blocks away. Just, you know, put it through my slot, my mail slot." And so she did. And she had this lovely note about how she and her boyfriend loved to go to Oregon, which I was from. And the driver's license was an Oregon driver's license. So she had to do some maneuvering. So great. Thank you very much. Maybe 2 months later, at the most, I get a call, and it's the same woman, Lisa Marie Vanna, and she says, "I know this is going to sound a little strange, but I just found your MAC card." And I'm like, "What? I don't lose cards." And I would go to a certain MAC machine, ATM, and it would spit it right back at you. Well, this one, asks, "Would you like another transaction?" And I left it in. And Lisa Marie Vanna was the next person to use the ATM machine. And she says, "No." I mean, she could have said, "Yes, I want to clean out this woman's bank account." But she recognized my name and she calls me. Well, I said, she says, "Should I put it in the slot?" I said, "No." I said, "You've got to come to my salon. We've got to meet." And so she comes over, this lovely, young, blonde, pixie, beautiful girl. And so I had some soap from Oregon to give her to thank her. And so sort of that kind of went along. And then, you know, we're doing the wedding. Oh, turns out she's a concert violinist. Okay. So now we're planning our wedding. Frank is trying to find the music. And I come out of the my house, and she's jogging, and she stops, and she says, "I've just been thinking of you," and we decided to have coffee. So I tell her about the wedding, and you know, Frank is trying to get the music, and she said, and I said, you know, my favorite concerto is Concierto de Aranjuez. She says, "I would like to play that for you at your wedding." And she got this other musician, a classical guitarist who played at the only 4-star restaurant in Philadelphia. And as my wedding present, I paid him something like $75. And here I walk down the aisle to my very favorite concerto. I mean, just enthralled. So there you go.
And then the bakery just happened to be passing by, and they said, "We have this extra wedding cake. Would you like it?" Right?
Well, actually, Victor, guess what? Frank's sister is a cake artist.
There you go. Of course.
It was the most, she did three cakes, a middle big one. And it was just, and it was Chantilly lace design frosting. I don't know how she did it. How about that?
Well, so, what we're talking about is synchronicities. And Carl Jung coined the word synchronicity to describe meaningful coincidences without apparent causal connection. It is synchronicity that we're sharing this conversation today.
Yes.
In the mid-1990s, a series of these events led me to enroll in the new Seminary for Interfaith Studies here in New York. The founder, my teacher and mentor, Rabbi Joseph Gelberman, would share the Hebrew expression hakol beseda. He would say that the traditional meaning is all is in order, but would go on to say that spiritually it meant everything is unfolding in divine order. But he would say we would need spiritual eyes to see that that was happening. I became grounded in that teaching, and it changed my life. That's what we're talking about.
Yes, yes, exactly. And synchronicity comes from the Greek word synchronos, which is at the same time.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, it's at the same time. So we're talking about time, and we're talking about having your needs met in a timely fashion, you know. So again, these two stories, I mean, I don't know anyone else who somebody found their two cards within 2 months of each other, just in time for the wedding. But the fact that once again, I could have so easily said, yes, just put it in the mail slot. But again, take action, you know, no, you and I have to meet. And then later she offered this amazing gift.
So now for folks who are listening and saying, how come these folks have all of these things happen to them and it never happens to me? What answer do you say to someone like that?
Oh, well, you know, this just happened recently. and it was interesting how this came about. So I get a message on Instagram, and somebody says, you know, your book found me. And it was she did an email, and she said, your book found me. It was the perfect thing to read because, you know, these things happen to me, and I tell my husband and my kids, and they think I'm a wacko. And she turns out, she reads the book and finds out that we're 20 minutes away. I mean, this is Instagram global, you know. And so she teaches at Villanova English, and she has a book club, and they read historical novels. But the book club decides to read my book, and they invited me for a discussion, and it was absolutely lovely. And this one woman says, but, you know, these things don't happen to me. I was reading this, and they just happened to you. And I said, and then she kind of says something about her husband had cancer, and then somehow the cancer was magically cured, and she something happened to her, and these this very strange thing happened, and now that problem is solved. And then her son had some mental issues, and then this thing just happened, and he's completely cured. And I'm like looking at her. I said, I think they are happening to you. Look what you just told me. I mean, so what do you say to that? I mean, here are these things. She put three things on the table that had happened to her that somehow my experiences jarred her to tell me. And she didn't have the awareness to see that these things are happening to her. And so what I would say to somebody is, you know, sit with yourself and think, if I hadn't done this, I wouldn't have met my husband, or if I hadn't done this, I would have, studied something else, and to see and start recognizing that these things have been happening.
So let's give our listeners some tools with which they can identify the synchronicities, or as you call them, the divine language of coincidence in their lives. So first of all, one of the things that my personal experience has been since my aha moment back when is that I'm presented with three choices each time one of these things comes my way. I can either dismiss it out of hand. I can say, yes, that's interesting to me, but not right now, perhaps later on down the line. Or I can say, yes, that means something to me. That resonates with me. I can embrace it and start running with it. And every time I said yes, the next one came. And the next one came. Yes. You have that same experience, don't you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And in a way, those three things somewhat mirror what I consider and I write about to be three levels of spiritual, where you are in the spiritual ladder. So the first one I identify as you look at things from the position of sort of wishing, like you're wishing this would happen. And then, a coincidence happens in front of you and just kind of push it away and keep wishing. And another thing happens, and then maybe a major thing happens, but you're not taking action, but you're still wishing that this would come into your life. The second stage, I call it the stage from the perspective of hope. So something happens, you recognize that, wow, that's strange. I'm going to take action and hopefully something will transpire and I will get what I need. The third stage, and it's difficult because I'm human and I go between stage two and stage three, is from the perspective of faith, where you come to a point where it doesn't matter what happens, you take action on it, and you know that divine intelligence has your back and you don't have to worry about anything. And that's a real gift.
And the most important element after that is gratitude, isn't it?
Oh, okay. In the book, so because it's a memoir, it's pretty much chronological, except for two chapters. One is called Please, which is about prayer. And the other one is called Thank You, which is about gratitude, which I believe is the highest form of prayer. And I'm at the point where I just say thank you all day long. I mean, we were out in Maine and our friends took us to their lobster traps. And I had this Maine lobster the same day. And it was like, thank you, God. And then after a while, things just happen to you. You just, you are given just more things to say thank you about. And it's just how one can live their life.
When we adopt that sense of gratitude for yes. everything, the good and the bad, because yes. the bad is often a lesson that shows us helps us appreciate the good even more.
Yes.
But that gratitude key, my teacher that I mentioned in the first segment, Rabbi Joseph Gelbman, who founded the New Seminary for Interfaith Studies, he was well in his 80s when I first met him in 1995. And he would say that he would wake up in the morning and he would feel pain in his legs and his arms and his back. And immediately he would say, "Thank you, God." And people would say, "You're in pain. Why are you saying thank you, God?" He said, "Because it means I'm alive and I have the opportunity to live another day of a purposeful life." What wonderful way to approach life.
That is. And that reminds me of something that happened when I was taking care of my mother. It was 10 months and I went to Portland, Oregon and took care of her for 10 months until the moment she died. And that story is in my second book because I now know what happens when one dies. So that's the second book. But I woke up one morning. And so there was a certain relative that was causing a lot of problems for us. And so I wake up one morning and I'm thinking, oh, my God, I'm so lucky. I don't have, you know, starving children to feed. You know, I have these wonderful friends here in Portland that are supporting me and thanking God for this person and that person. And then all those friends, and my, you know, in Philadelphia, and my husband could not be more supportive. And thank you, God. And all of a sudden, I think of that relative and I go, wait a second, what's he doing in my life? And this was in my head. What's he doing in my life? He's like a fly that fell and ruined my soup. And I heard, it wasn't like it was a booming voice, but it was like how you feel after somebody says something. And it was just this calm, calm voice, if you could call it a voice. And it said, "Sophia, how are you going to get to the next level? You need this person in your life to get to the next level." And it came to pass big time because I was able to forgive this person. And that was something else. But yes, yes, there's a reason.
And forgiveness, when we forgive others, we're also forgiving ourselves.
Yes.
My guest is Sophia Demas. Her book, The Divine Language of Coincidence, How Miracles Transformed My Life After I Began Paying Attention. We'll be back with more of Sophia after these words on the Om Times Radio Network.
Humanity Healing International is a small nonprofit with a big dream. Since 2007, HHI has been working tirelessly to bring help to communities with little or no hope. Our projects are not broad mandates, nor are they overnight solutions, but they bring the reassurance that no one is alone and that someone cares. To learn more, please visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What is Going Om? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
My simple solution to the problem was remove people from the scene and help them feel safer.
In response to attacks against Asian Americans, Maddie Park raised over $250,000 to donate cab rides to the Asian community.
There is so much more work to be done. We really need to come together and tackle this issue as a community.
Support the Asian community. Learn how at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
So I'm a cat, and I just moved in with this new human. And she's got this little toy she's always playing with all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese. And guess what? Egg roll showed up like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Hi, this is Bill Maher. I can find humor in almost anything, but one thing I never laugh about is cruelty to animals. If you don't get the joke either, write People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, 501 Front Street, Norfolk, Virginia, 23510.
Back on Destination Unlimited, my guest this week, Sophia Demas, her book, The Divine Language of Coincidence, How Miracles Transformed My Life After I Began Paying Attention. Sophia, your search for answers set you on a personal odyssey of discovery. What were some of the places that you went to and what did you find?
Well, now that's interesting. When I turned 60, Frank asked me what I wanted to do for my 60th birthday. And the minute he asked me that, I had this vision of me on the deathbed and I'm bemoaning, how can I be dying and not have seen the pyramids? And so I snapped out of it and I said, Frank, we've got to go see some stuff. And so we did this, it ended up being a 2-month odyssey. And we went to Turkey, where I walked in to Hagia Sophia on my 60th birthday, and I had wanted to go there since second grade in Greece, when our teacher told us this fable about how Hagia Sophia was designed. And it just fascinated me, and I wanted to go there. And so I actually got that wish on my 60th birthday. And, oh, by the way, anyone that's going to Turkey has to go to the Virgin Mary's house. So and that's, that's just something to file away. And then we went to Greece to see my relatives just for a few days. We went to India for a month. We went to where Buddha was enlightened. We were blessed by Hindu priests. We went to Egypt, where finally I got to see the pyramids, and then Israel, where we went to the Wailing Wall, where Jesus walked. It was just, we hit them all. And so it was, it became a pilgrimage. And, it was one of the most satisfying periods of my life.
In your search, you found someone who gave you an amazing information, amazing messages. Tell us about the abbess.
Oh, okay. So, as I said, when I first started writing the book, and I was just so curious as to how how these miracles happen here on Earth. You know, I mean, my faith is unshakable, but I was very curious. So something urged me to study quantum mechanics. And then I became interested because I was listening to some of these popular physicists like Michio Kaku, you know, get on YouTube and go, oh, one day, very soon, we're going to be able to bilocate, we're going to time travel, dematerialize, materialize. And I'm like, but yogis have been doing this for, you know, thousands of years. And then I had heard rumors that Greek Orthodox monks participated in these kinds of paranormal feats in Mount Athos in Greece, and then Russian Orthodox monks off the coast of Alaska. And I spent 2 months researching, and all I could get was hearsay. There's a book, it's called The Mountain of Silence, about the monks in Mount Athos. And it wasn't anything that was substantial to proof. And just when I let go, I meet Abbess Amelianie. And that was another synchronicity. First I heard her story. And it was a firsthand mystical account with her experience with bilocation. Mm. And it was the proof I needed.
Absolutely. The theme of this program is the crossroads of science and spirituality. You had mentioned starting to study quantum physics. One of the things that I've learned of in the last few years is what they call quantum bilocation. Mm. Could that be part of what we're talking about?
Yes, absolutely. That's it. I mean, her story, actually, I do write about it in the book, but it's also, if you go on my website and click on my influencers, it consists of 8 people that I've met personally that I consider to be mentors. And she's one of them. And you can read her blurb on the website.
What would you like readers to take away from The Divine Language of Coincidence?
That everything we talked about is available to you. And it's just sort of opening the door of our minds just a crack and being willing to listen. I think that is the key.
There was a wonderful song written by Justin Hayward of the Moody Blues in the early 1970s called The Voice. And there's a part of the lyric that says, make a promise, take a vow, trust your feelings, it's easy now. Mm-hmm. Understand the voice within and feel the change already beginning.
That's the truth. What you just said is the truth.
We are a world of noise. We live in a world in which, even in conversation, we have a tendency not to truly listen and hear one another. If we can turn off that noise, turn off all of the chatter, what they call the monkey mind in Buddhist meditation philosophy, mm-hmm. and truly listen without judging, without having to respond, mm-hmm. and hear, what a change that would make.
Oh, I mean, it's a world of being gifted. Just getting exactly what you need, because we think we know what we need, but there's that divine intelligence that knows better than you. And it desperately wants you to be happy and successful. So it helps you along, but you have to listen. That's perfect.
Absolutely. Tell us about your new book that you had alluded to, Consciousness Beyond Death, True Stories of Signs, Messages, and Timing.
Yes, it was just edited, and I reread the book to accept the edits. And I mean, these things happen; they really happened to me, and I just still can't believe it. So it's this one. Okay, so the first book took 8 years to write. This one took 6 months, and it's now a total of 10 chapters. 7 are my experiences and 3 are close friends. And what a gift that was so that it's not just me. These things don't happen to me. There's 3 other people very close to me that these unbelievable communications, because we're all one. And it is not just we're all one here on Earth. We're all one with all our relatives who have made the transition. And they're as real as we are. So that's what I want that book to convey.
My guest, Sophia Demas, her book, The Divine Language of Coincidence, How Miracles Transformed My Life After I Began Paying Attention. And again, I'm going to emphasize those last two words, paying attention, because the messages and the miracles are there. You just have to open your eyes, not your human eyes, but your spiritual eyes, and recognize them. Sophia, one more time, please tell our listeners where they can get your book and find out more about you.
Okay. The book is available in many bookstores. It's available on Amazon, or they can go on my website, sophiademas.com, and get it directly from there.
And when is the publication date of Consciousness Beyond Death?
It's scheduled for spring. And if people subscribe to the website, they will be notified when it's available.
And of course, you have to come back when that comes out and share that book with us also.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you.
And thank you for joining us on Destination Unlimited. I'm Victor, the Voice Furman. Have a wonderful week.